Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today. And welcome back to another episode of Babe. I'm here with Jocelyn Fee.
Hi, everybody. I'm so happy to be back.
It's an evening. It's Sunday, the Lord's Day.
Best dress. Finally.
Oh, yeah. Trip. Your Sunday finest. And, you know, we have some open windows. I've gotten over my rat phobias of having the windows open at dusk, and we're just listening to the trickling fountain. And yeah, it's just a nice, beautiful day.
Serene.
Do you remember what did we have to do on Sundays at Cascade?
We had to eat two meals instead of three.
So we got to sleep in later. I remember we would get to wake up at 9:45 on Sundays if we wanted to.
If you were that lucky.
If you were that lucky. If you were in trouble and had work projects or something, you were up at 7. But if you were in good standing, you could have a nice sleep-in journey and then wake up, go to brunch. They had brunch instead of breakfast.
And there was a snack, I think, around 2.
Yeah, so brunch, they served cinnamon rolls, which were a huge fave for me.
Every week
they had cinnamon rolls and bagels cream cheese and bacon. So I would usually eat a cinnamon roll and a bagel with cream cheese and bacon. And then they also did this was Saturday where they did the gross thing where they just put out all the leftover food from the week for Saturday lunch.
Disgusting.
Which is fucking disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a fasting day, and then you ate.
A fast
you had
for
to
you?
Wear fancy clothing
for dinner.
You had to wear fancy clothing at like for the 4 p.m. family dinner.
Was it a family dinner?
Like you're supposed to eat with your family,
not at 4.
It was like a 4:15 house meeting. 4:15 house meeting.
Then you would get released, and you'd go.
Can I get some backup?
Up. Then you go get dressed up, and dinner was like at 6.
No.
Dinner was not at 4. You're a psycho.
Okay, then it was at 5:15. It was not any later than 5:15.
You would get released but to get dressed up.
At 4. After hanging out all day.
Yeah, so brunch would be at 10:15. And then would be over around like, I don't know, 11. And then you didn't have to do anything on a Sunday. You could just like lay on a couch all day if that's what you wanted to do.
But you weren't supposed to do anything longer than 2 hours.
Yeah.
You would like, loosely don't do whatever you want, but nothing longer than 2 hours.
Yeah. So it was like you're very encouraged to go hike or participate in various activities that are taking place on Sunday.
Not just like watch your friend play guitar.
Yeah, but you could do that if you just strategically moved around to different locations where you weren't being observed.
You could build pillow forts to hide from certain counselors, and maybe they would be switching so they wouldn't notice if you did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Ew, let's see.
You just had a little toe grab moment with me.
Oopsie.
But I remember, and I wanted to talk to you about hooking up in the library because I feel like you did that.
Yes, that's the best place. I mean, I may or may not have been in charge of the celebration of the arts for the literature.
Oh,
I had a love and lust of literature. It's called a sapiosexual.
Sapiosexual?
Oh, yeah. Sapiosexual.
Some of the biggest babes
I think on dating apps are sapiosexuals, but go on.
Sapios, obviously a sapiosexual wouldn't be attracted to me because I don't know how to even say sapio.
Sapiosexual.
It's like Sony, right?
Sapiosexual.
So yes, there was like strategic plans of placing notes in specific books and then proceeded with...
Wait, you would communicate via notes left in books?
Yes, yeah, that was an activity for a while.
I didn't know anything about library hookups because I never hooked up in the library, but I knew that it was like a popular hookup zone. But please explain like the entire process because this is fascinating and I didn't know.
Well, there was like hours of just pretending like you're reading in the aisles, but actually you're like rolling between the aisles, hiding.
And making out? Or just like being between the aisles?
Well, depending on the day.
Okay, so let's take it back to your boarding school tryst. And you and him.
I'm uncomfortable now.
It's good to be uncomfortable. Get out of your comfort zone for once.
This is the game.
So you and your tryst would go in the library at like separate times. The library was attached to the main lodge.
Throughout the week, there would be back and forths in different books where we would also maybe
what
cut
books
holes.
Were they?
Usually Hemingway.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
On the nose, but cool.
Yeah, and sometimes there would be other books where you would cut holes, like cut the paper out so you could put, like one time there was like perfumes left for me in a book or pressed flowers in a book. I mean, it was a full on romantic.
This is a romantic journey.
It was an intimate relationship. Maybe my only good relationship. Up till my husband, of course.
I'm sad that I was robbed. Like I didn't, my courtship was different, but like it didn't involve any like library like sexy moments with a perfume.
There was lots of heavy breathing and like what Dave perfume? Matthews Band. I don't know, it was like a tester perfume probably from like his mom's magazine. I don't even know.
So nice.
It was so great because we weren't allowed to have perfumes.
Yeah. But then did you wear it?
Yeah. And then I would scent like letters in the future. You know, there's all kinds of...
So you'd leave letters back and forth in these books. And then would you coordinate, like, did you ever sneak out?
This is probably why he actually liked me, because he didn't hear me talk. He just heard my writing. We snuck out for some early morning jogging on the loop.
Oh, my God. And just solo?
Just a solo. Yeah. I think, actually, no, Fiona Scott and...
Wimby?
Rob? No. Fiona Scott...
Alan,
the bicycle kick babe. He could do a bicycle kick on the soccer field.
Wow.
I just want to put it out there that you were allowed to play co-ed soccer, which is something that I flocked to, like the salmon of Capistrano.
Wait, so you and Fiona would go out for a jog, and then...
I think it only happened once or twice. It wasn't like some... I'm no Cam Schwan here.
Yeah.
No, but...
But it's like a bold move to sneak
majorly
out.
Majorly, like, oh, we're going for... we're on the soccer team. We're going for a morning run.
Yeah. I mean, it's sketch to, like, go and run the loop, but it's good. You can't go alone, because I think I explained this on the last episode. There were mountain lions, so, like, you would go... You were not encouraged to go alone. It would be encouraged to go in groups.
I mean, I had to have a buddy in the buddy system, and that's why Fiona could come with me, Rob. His name wasn't Rob, it was
Alan.
Alan. There were four or five Robs.
So you would go on this run, and then you'd meet up for an early morning makeout sesh?
Makeout, maybe for second base. You know, it depends on how for real you were feeling that day. I don't know. It was very... I mean, really, I think what in retrospect, it was just the thrill alone of doing anything that you weren't allowed to do.
Was high.
It made it so much more enjoyable than just like, oh, an HJ in the park, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess that would be weird too.
What's the furthest you went?
What?
What's the furthest you went?
At
a Cascade.
Cascade?
Yeah.
I think that was it.
morning jog.
Yes.
Maybe a boob. A boob show.
I don't even know if... there was some nudity, but it wasn't full nudity.
No.
There was no penetration.
Full nudity.
There was no oral. Yeah. Okay, so that's second base, second and a half base. I don't know.
Full nudity is a real gamble.
There was partial nudity, not full.
Full nude's a... If you get
At
caught
what point
in
would
full
you ever
nude,
have a chance to be full nude?
Never. Rare.
I mean, that's why it's called getting caught with your pants down for a reason.
Yeah, full nude was a gamble because if you're caught full nude, you can't walk that back. And if you're caught like semi-clothed, you can always just be like, oh my God, I tripped. Nia's helping me up or something.
We were just going for a morning
jog. And we ran into them. They were also jogging. And I fell on a twig and I hurt my ankle. He was looking at it. What?
His fingers fell inside. We just tumbled.
It was like so weird.
Awkward moment, but everyone seemed to be...
Everyone's still in agreement. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Back off, you rat.
I love an early morning is ballsy. I only snuck out at night.
Night is way more obvious.
Night was scary.
Yeah, it's also like very, very scary, sketchy. You don't know who's out there. You don't know who's actually driving the golf cart around, like somebody that like we didn't know that worked there in maintenance. I always figured there was somebody working there that I didn't know. You know?
There always was. Like, but the thing is, like, we got... So our friend Lauren taught me how to sneak out. And she... Yeah, she gave me like a crash course one night because when I...
The chillest.
When Hawaii. I got together with Tyler, rest in peace, he was like, let's sneak out. Like, I'm going to sneak out tonight and meet me behind the girls' dorms. And I was like, I can't do it. Like, I was like, I can't. Like, I'm scared. And then he was like, meet me tonight, please. And I was like, okay. But then I got scared and I just like looked out the back door. And then the next day he came to me and he was like, I snuck out and I snuck all the way up to the deck of the girls' dorms. And I saw you looking out and I wondered why you wouldn't meet me. And I was like,
you got to go. You got to do this. You got to do this for both of us. Do this for both of us.
So then I got Lauren. I was like, I'm scared. And I got Lauren to teach me. So it was a whole thing of like, you make sure no one's around. You then sneak off the deck and then you run from tree to tree to tree and hide on the way, where the whole goal, like behind the girls' dorms, was a big hill with a few trees. So you would go tree to tree to tree to tree until you ran. And then when you knew the coast was clear, you'd run the rest of the way up the hill. And once you breached the hilltop, then you were in the safe zone.
By the dumpster?
No. This was like on the other side of the dining hall.
Okay. Yeah.
So you'd have to get to the top of the hill. And once you were over that hump, then all the guys would be there waiting for the girl. So what we did...
What?
That last summer that we were there, I was like a dorm head. And so we created a diversion tactic that was really mean, but it was also like really effective in getting us a bit able to sneak out, which was we would sit on the deck, on the back deck, all together, all the girls from my wing. And we'd wait because like the night watchman or whoever was on call for that night, like patrolling the campus, would always go do a final circle of the dorms at like 11:30 or 12 or something like that. And then they would go like park and just like sit in their car and do whatever the fuck. And so
to sleep.
Yeah. We would wait for them to circle. And when they saw us sitting out there, we were like, oh, we heard that Rochelle was going to sneak out tonight. And, you know, she's new at the school. So we're just like keeping a watch for the younger ones. So they like don't sneak out. And we're just like, we don't want them to get in trouble. So... And we'd throw,
oh my God.
We'd throw
horrible
young ones under the bus. And then when the coast was clear, like six of us would get all of our stuff and we'd all just make a break for it up the hill. And then all the boys would be waiting. And then everyone would go off to like their various fuck zones.
My God.
It was very
elaborate. I didn't realize there was so much community. I mean, I was much more of like a solo.
You were a solo.
Like, I love anarchist.
I like a community vibe.
We were in it together.
Well, the first time I snuck out, I waited too long. So Lauren taught me, and then I was like, okay, I'm going. Then I went one night and ran all the way up the hill, and then Tyler was gone. Like, it was like too long had passed.
Both ghosted each other.
Yeah. So then the next night I was like, okay, this is really happening. And then our friend Amina came to me and she's like, I'm going to sneak out too. And then someone else was like, I'm going to sneak out too. So then we were like, okay, we're all going to sneak out together. And this is what we'll do. We'll wait on the back porch and we'll throw Rochelle under the bus and then we'll all make a break for it. And so then that's what we did. It was magical.
I cannot. I never had a desire to sneak out.
It was tense.
The reason why I could do the loop thing because it wasn't sneaking out. Yeah, I was just going was like for legitimate. A jog.
You like a real life scam.
Yes, please. I need it to be like foolproof.
Yeah. I liked a danger element, but I was also like, I was like, once I do this, there is no going back. Like, I fully have done this. And then it's like in my history is like, I can't like write it any other way. But that was a good litmus test for like, do I like this person? How do I feel about them?
Are they worth the sneak out?
Are they worth the sneak? And
fall
then
fall from grace.
I remember like, there was so much, it was like a lot of just like internal tension leading up to like the grand sneak out, being
that's
able to pull
anxiety.
It off. Yeah.
That's that internal tension.
But then I achieved and we like hooked up and like fooled around, no sex, but just like other like magical stuff. And then I remember walking back into the dorms, I just had like no qualms. I wasn't even trying to sneak anymore. I was just like,
been so long.
Yeah. I was just like, it's 5 a.m. like coming home. Gonna go to sleep for a few hours.
And then
the next, oh, we snuck out on a Saturday too. So then the next day was Sunday where everyone could just like lay around and I laid around all day being like, oh my God, like in post hookup glow.
You're like post cat mode. You're like,
Yeah, just like on the couch being like,
It was fun, you know? What a beautiful thing to be so excited about a makeout.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, like, high school was so jaded, you know, it was like everyone's like, yeah, and then they effed, or I don't know, it was just like,
yeah,
high school, because everything was just like, well, obviously everybody's like, he's 14 and he sells drugs, or you know,
yeah.
it was nice to be in a place where there was like some innocence that could be tarnished.
Yeah. And also like, it's like you're engaging in like consensual sex with the other person or consensual sexual activity where it's like you're both putting things on the line, you're both making a decision to like go into this experience together and like kind of communicating about what's going to happen, like where you're going to
go. Well, it's a lot of, you're putting a lot on the line, especially as a dorm head. No, yeah. No, not trying to boost your ego here, but putting your dorm head on the line to sneak out to hook up with someone is a big deal.
Yeah. But it was like,
it's an act of devotion, I would say, in the love languages.
In the love languages, it was an act of service.
Yes.
And it was like, I don't know, I think going from having gone through the experience of being essentially raped in high school to then going to Cascade, still not understanding that that's like what had happened to me, and then entering this new universe of like, you can have crushes on people and then maybe you make out like secretly, or like you develop feelings and then you have this plan together. It just felt like all those steps felt really comfortable to me, which is why I never felt bad. I never felt guilty about doing that. And a lot of things I did feel guilty about, and that was just not one of them. And I think it's because like there was that level of communication, or just like you're on the same page about what's happening the entire time, that you're engaging in this like romantic
interlude
with someone else. As opposed to like, you're drinking, getting fucked up, or like shit's going down. You're just like out late or texting, and like one thing leads to another, or like it was just different.
Or like playing the field. If you know you're living with the same 100 people, mm-hmm. you're not just going to be like, oh yeah, and then them, and then them, and then them, and then them. I'm saying for guys or for girls,
yeah.
you know, of like you're going to be very thoughtful about like.
You're making more conscious choices about like, do I like this person? Like, do we get along? Like, do we, is there like a spark here? And then like you get, I think it also just heightens all the drama of it, especially when you're a teenager. It's like your emotions are all over the fucking map to begin with. But then when you have the added element of like, you're not allowed to talk to this person or you're put on bans and like it's taken away.
Thrill fucking people. It's a dangerous territory to get into.
That's not necessarily thrill fucking.
Well, at that point, this is the precursor to becoming a thrill fucker.
Yeah. I mean, this was like, I couldn't even name what this was, but I just remember walking away from that sexual experience where basically my like boyfriend went down on me under the stars on like a blanket in the woods, and it was like really nice. And then I just like gave him a hand job and like whispered, or no, he jerked himself off and I just like whispered nice things into his ear. And then I felt good about that.
You were served. The goddess was served.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, this is cool. And I did what I was comfortable with and then walked away, like sauntered away down the hill back to the dorms, feeling really empowered.
Which was a nice dream.
Weirdly against the rules, which is something that should be totally in line with like a healing process, like coming off of like some sort of sexual trauma. I don't know.
Sounds like a healing to me.
It was so healing. But like the sexual trauma being like everything that happened prior.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Have you heard about this stroking in LA? There's
the
some.
Well, is it called oming?
Oming?
Yeah.
I don't know. Oming is like in yoga, you om.
No, but this is like called oming, which is like you have a partner and they just like stroke your clit for like 15 minutes or something.
I wish the readers could see. That's what they do. I know. Well, I don't know. I heard that there's like, it's like a massage parlor.
Hmm.
That there's like locations. I'm like, this is called prostitution. From a professional's, I have a legitimate massage therapy practice.
Yeah.
And my friend was like, have you heard about this thing? It's called stroking. And it's like where you go and you have you get like clitorally stroked for 15 minutes and you pay somebody. And I was like, yeah, that's called prostitution. I don't know who the hell you're going to, but I heard it's in LA somewhere. It's in the recesses of somewhere in LA. So if the readers know anything about this,
well, I think
send us the details.
That's related to oming practice, which is like a tantric meditation technique that's like, one of my friends had told me about it like a few years ago, and she told me and I literally turned beet red and was just like so scandalized. But then I was also like, we need to go like try and infiltrate this group and see what the fuck these people are doing.
It's a group.
It's like a group of people where it's like you and a man, or you and a woman, it can be anyone. You go and they teach you. You basically disrobe from the waist down and like go butterfly
legs. Keep your socks on.
Yeah, go butterfly legs on like a pillow. And then your partner, you like kind of wrap your leg around a partner and then they just stroke your clitoris for 15 minutes.
What if it's man on man?
There's not. It's only okay, in it's service cool. of women.
Okay.
It's man can do it to woman. Woman can do it to woman. But like you don't touch the man. You don't, it's not, and it's the point of it isn't even to orgasm.
No.
It's just supposed to send you to like a really.
They call this caressa.
Really?
It's this whole like, you know, the non-coming sexual arousal techniques.
But you don't pay anyone.
And tantra is the. Pretty much that's all that tantra is. People think tantra is like the sexy time, but really it's all about you not coming.
Yeah.
It's all about, you know, withholding the energy inside of you and utilizing it for healing power for yourself and all beings versus releasing it out of your root.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't know. I think that orgasms give a balancing to the whole body when you're not abused. It's just like,
So there's a place where you can go and pay. I mean, if you want to be, I did go to this group with my friend.
Oh, you infiltrated the group.
We went to a meeting in Santa Monica and like sat around and the whole, like, it's a community of people that own with each other. And so you join and then you can like pay to be in a workshop and then they teach you how to ohm and you find an ohming partner and then you like meet up and like ohm sometimes where I guess they just like lightly flick your clit for 15 minutes and then you're like, okay, thanks, bye. And it's supposedly like some people are swear by it and love it.
Whoever these lovely people are definitely like pirates in my industry that need not be associated with ohming. Or this is not okay. It's not okay.
So we went to this meeting and realized quickly, like it's like newbies welcome, like an intro to ohming. And like, so we went, but we realized that we were the only newbies there and it's all oldies, not like old, age wise oldies, but just like
veterans,
veteran ohmers who are there to like welcome you into the group. And then they have like, you sit in a
fresh
circle.
Fresh clitorises, come over here.
Yeah, like you sit in a circle and it's like lots of men and women and then they go around, they're like, okay, we're going to do some exercises. And it was giving me way Cascade vibes too because it's like a leader sits in like at the front and then you kind of are crescent moon around him or her. And they're like, we're going to go around the circle and please everyone fill in the blank. Like my pussy wants and then you say like what your pussy wants, and so everyone had to like say that.
I'm not
to the group.
Okay with pussy.
I was like
either
my
love my wussy.
I was really tame, and then they put, then they pick people out and put them on the spot in the hot seat, and then the leader asks you questions until you get like flustered, essentially, like they asked me a lot of questions that are kind of leading questions, but it's like, what are, I can't even remember now, but it's like all led up to me saying like I wanted to be like fucked hard. And this is the first time I'd ever said that.
Catwoman relive?
Yeah. And that's the first time I'd ever said that in front of like a group of people. And I was like, like I was just like shy still at that point. At this point, I'm like, whatever. I've literally like pegged. So it's chill. And like,
we'll find something new for you.
But at that point, I was like, oh my God. But then afterwards, you do all these kind of exercises made to make you feel like sexual or uncomfortable, and then you have like social time afterwards, and the whole thing is like enticing you to pay for a workshop that then you would get to maybe see someone ohm, and then you pay for another workshop where you get to try ohming.
By ohming you mean clitoral stroking.
Yeah, you have an ohming partner and then you find someone to like clitoral stroke you. And so afterwards,
sex cult,
all
sex
these
cult.
Guys like came up to us and we were like chatting us up, but it's just like, no, thank you. I was like, you're literally talking to me so that you can like stroke my clit, like in a chill way. But like, also I don't see how you could like have your clit stroked for 15 minutes and then not want to like fuck someone afterwards.
I don't know if I want that much particular focal point on the clitoris.
You do it, it's like supposed to be light. They have like a full blown, it's like a place that they say, a specific place.
Readers can't see the hand motions that are going on right now, but it's down below the belly button and above the knees.
They tell you it's like to the left side or something, like a specific place that they're supposed to stroke, and they have to wear gloves. And then they just like go like this over and over and over. And it, you're supposed to just like be in a meditative headspace. But I'm like, this is like, it's like two. But then they have conferences where you can go and ohm, where it's like a huge room full of people ohming together, which is like not for me. Love that.
There are. Okay. So Bhakti Fest was this weekend and there are rooms of people ohming together with their clitorises not involved. I just want to
what
put
do you
that
mean?
Out there.
They jerk off?
No, they just ohming. You can't call it ohming. You can't call it ohming.
That's what it's called.
That is like, we need to like, Hindu has copyrighted that shit. They can't call it that.
No, I'm going to look it up.
This is horrible news. So at Sacred Roots Holistic Healing, we pride ourselves on being a bridge from
it's
places. Yes.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's okay. I want to know more.
They call it ohming because it stands for orgasmic meditation.
of course that's why they come.
Yeah, but then...
Well, what happens?
So the company that started it, the whatever that you can go to these like conferences is called One Taste. So I still get all the One Taste emails.
How many tastes did you have?
I only had one taste of their intro to Oming group. And then they were like, pay us like $400 to come to an intro session. I'm like, Noming.
I actually had a cult-like experience at this place in Long Beach. I'd love to share about too, but I can't remember much of the details because it was pre-motherhood.
You can't remember?
It was like I was teaching yoga on the Bluff in Long Beach, and it's a regular group of people that go out there every day at 6 and 11, and this gentleman just comes up. He has a ponytail on his head, and he's just like, I'd love for you to come to a service at our church.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, great. And there's like, he's like, there's a meal, and you know, it's just all about oneness. And so I think I lasted about a half an hour there. And they're like, yeah, the spirituality is in the music. If you listen to the music, you'll find it. And then there's just all these people that are kind of looking blankly around.
Was this in Venice?
No, this is Long Beach. Mm. I'm sure there's a branch in Venice as well, but
what was it called?
I can't remember right now, but we looked it up before. I mean, I wish I had more of these skills. Seventh and Temple, I want to say. There's this church that's there, and I think it's been functioning for like 20 or 30 years. And there's a few unique units in Long Beach, but that's part of why we created our space to be really emotional safety, professionalism, integrity, open-hearted communication, and emotional safety. I mean, you cannot be creating emotional safe environments when people are probably potentially receiving trauma with this.
They could
Oming.
Be,
yeah. I mean, maybe they're...
Was it called Full Circle?
Coerced.
Possibly. Because Andrew Keegan from 10 Things I Hate About You started a cult in Venice called Full Circle.
Oh, Andrew Keegan can do whatever he wants.
He has a cult leader vibe, for sure.
He passionately seeks to inspire and empower the community to co-create a better world. What's the cult name?
Full Circle. I think it might have shut down, actually.
Actually, Full Circle, I think that a chick that does, Linda Arnold, she does sound meditation at Sacred Roots, and I think that she also does it at a place
called Full Circle. Yeah, I think that Full Circle is Andrew Keegan's cult.
But what's culty about it? I mean,
well,
illegal kombucha.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. He sounds like a real renegade. We have a...
Full Circle, it's about timing. Whatever the path, some other time, it's a circle. The center is now. That's what it's about. He explained to Vice he was inspired by an exploding street lamp and a heart-shaped rose quartz crystal that jumped off the altar and skipped on camera. It sounds spooky. But you know what? Who wouldn't want to worship? Okay, he started a cult called Full Circle. And he started his own religion, and it was in Venice on like Rose Avenue, down the street from Giusta, my home away from home. And it's his own church, and it was like drum circles and stuff.
Yeah, I guess we're like one step away from that, but without the official religion or cult, because we're non-denominational, as in...
Yeah, Oming started in San Francisco, and you have to pay to get involved and like... get into Ohm. I want to know what your friend is talking about.
It's true.
Oh, she's
been with Sacred Roots for 4 years, and she has been playing. She's also playing at Bhakti Fest. I mean, she's an OG homie, but this is with Torkum G. Once we did an overnight sound bath at Sacred Roots.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that all the cults are coming together. So I was asking Laura before the show, you know, would this make my center fifth generation Synanon cult?
Perhaps.
If Synanon was created by the same guy that started our boarding school.
It wasn't created by the same guy that started our boarding school. Oh, I mean, it was like
cons. So it was more the concept of the Sidhu schools was based off of Synanon.
Yeah. And then people who went to the Sidhu schools then broke off and started ours. So ours is like tangentially related for
third generation.
Because forums are a direct interpretation of the Synanon game. But like, that's not, it can link, you can trace it back to Synanon, like the origin of that type of healing therapy for troubled teens, but like, it's not like directly related.
I would say that makes me fourth generation, not fifth, is what I'm hearing here.
What's interesting is that you have gravitated, like you've leaned into the energy of Cascade and made it your business in a way.
I crave it.
Yeah.
I actually, and it's not, and for the record, there is no cult at, there's at no Sacred cult Roots. There Sacred actually Roots. Is really amazing
Sacred
healing
Roots
work.
Is a holistic healing center. I'll give you an example of the breadth of Sacred Roots. I was looking into Ayurvedic massages, facial like massages this week, or Ayurvedic facials, because I really want someone to like rub my face with oil and like massage my like jaw and shit. And just like, make me cry because I read an article online about an Ayurvedic massage, a masseur in like New York that like was amazing. So I was like, where in LA can I get this? And I Yelped it. And then on the Yelp list of top rated places in Southern California was Sacred Roots. And I was like, ding, ding, ding. That's my friend.
That's your friend. Yes. And I can't take credit for all the amazing things going on there, but
well, I didn't recommend you.
Oh, I love that. I did start the center with two other ladies, and we've magnetized like 10 to 15 to 20 to 30 different practitioners all offering their own small businesses, which is what is different about a Burke Williams or these other businesses where they're just kind of like busting out as many sessions as possible. At our center, it's more about empowered entrepreneurs offering their gifts mm-hmm. instead of making it about like...
And you give them a space to practice.
Yes. Yeah, salon style. So it is amazing to be able to see the people that want to come through once you just create something. We were talking about like, what are we going to name this place? We were like, let's call it Meta. And then we're like, let's call it like, you know, we thought of all these different names, and it was really important for us to feel like a bridge.
Yeah.
And not like something like we're only, you know, we didn't want to feel exclusive. Mm-hmm. We wanted to feel open so that anybody that is ready to receive, you know, and be open to receiving a more meditative approach to wellness. Instead of these environments that are either luxury or sports oriented, there's a whole different demographic coming through of this cultureless generation where we haven't been given, we can't be Christian, we can't be Catholic, we can't be Jewish, we can't be any, well, we're not the, I'm not the chosen person, so I can't be Jewish. Otherwise I probably would. Mm-hmm. But you know, like there's, you just, we haven't, at least for me personally, I haven't been given a cultural connection besides shamanic approaches to wellness. Yes, I went to preschool at a Christian church, and somehow I snuck into my friend's Mormon church for years in fourth grade. You know, there's like different approaches that I've seen, all of these things. But after going to the boarding school, I moved back to Mount Shasta, and I spent 9 months there just immersing myself in the different like meditative approaches to wellness. And that's what part of it is, living in Mount Shasta after the boarding school. But mm-hmm. we just had Miss Yellow, this amazing muralist, come through. You guys should check her out, her work out. She's an amazing Latina powerhouse. And she is doing international murals of her beautiful work. And she just did the outside wall for Sacred Roots. And it's just covered with these forests, like huge psychedelic trees with these two deer. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, she has brought Cascade. She's brought Mount Shasta to Long Beach. And so it just feels full circle.
Do you think this was always the journey that you were on?
Full circle. No. No. Well, I spent two years at Baron Brown Method Acting School. And then after that point, I spent 3 years in playing music with Free Lions, which if you guys need to hear me playing music, check out Free Lions. It's on iTunes and Spotify.
Jocelyn and her brother had a band for a hot minute.
For 3 years. And we had, it was a 6-piece band, including a 65-year-old bassist and my best mm-hmm. friend Emily. And it was so fun. But more than anything, I found it super healing to be playing the music with my brother, like regarding all of the grief that had been going on with my family. So it just kind of naturally turned into this, like, people, I was massaging people at my waitressing job, and they were like, oh, will you massage me at your house for half an hour? Not oming or stroking or whatever we're talking about. And, you know, and that kind of led to, like, wow, I could really pursue this. People are really interested in receiving from me. Let's create a venue for that. And so I became a massage therapist, then I became a yoga instructor. Then I, 3 years in, we started the Sacred Roots. It's been 6 years since then. A year ago, we started cultivating the vocational school, Panacea Holistic Institute, where people can come and learn all of the modalities that we offer, which is really exciting. The apprentice student master model.
Yeah. It's interesting that all of that, it did lead you full circle back to the creating the community and creating, like, a healing community at that.
And I think that really maybe that was the genuine hope of the school, but because everybody was forced to go to that school, that they were cut off at their knees because the emotional safety was lost.
Well, yeah, and also it's like you have people who are not
chemically
qualified.
Oh, yeah.
Also, the counselors are not, like, qualified. They're not certified to counsel teens in crisis. It's literally just, like, randoms who lived in the mountains and, like, went to other schools like this that are implementing these, like, programs that aren't necessarily
principles, but...
and principles that do make a lot of sense. Like, the pendulum effect, and there's certain things that they talked about, which is, like, to the amount you feel your pain is the amount you feel your joy. And that's, like, all very, that all makes sense and ties together. And in my, like, kind of spiritual searches and, like, what I know to be true feels true to this day. But then a lot of it was like, what the fuck are you guys fucking talking about? And you're insane. And you're, like, making my life hell.
I'm still grappling with that. The vision of, like, or not even grapple. I just feel like what I'm trying to, or what we have been creating, is a space for people to dive in willingly.
Mm-hmm. Because you have to have
to. Yeah. And I'm not a counselor, but I do self-care coaching because I've been in the holistic industry for 10 years. So
yeah, and you are, like, you have, like, healing training to heal. You're, like, a licensed massage therapist.
I mean, I'm a poet. I'm an advocate. I'm an, you know.
Okay, so we're going to share. I found this journal that I knew that I had written a couple things in, but I was like, oh, this will be a good dream journal, because I listened to an Oprah podcast recently where she interviewed, like, a dream psychologist guy, and they were talking all about, like, interpreting dreams and blah, blah, blah. So I found this old journal, and I was like, it has a lot of space left in it. I'm going to keep it in my bedside table, and then whenever I have a dream, I'll write down my dreams. Then I was, like, really stoned the other night and started reading my journal entries and realized this was my Cascade journal. And then I started weeping, and then I came to a point where I was like, oh my God, like, I love myself and, like, who I was, and I feel for her, and, like, I love her, and it was, like, a very cathartic moment.
You're showing up for that young lady.
Yeah. And then it was, like, it was a wow moment. So I'm going to read some of those entries, but I asked you to bring something from this era that you would feel comfortable
sharing.
I didn't
have the balls to get into a journal, but I do. Like, Laura, she dove deep for us. Thank you. You're devoted to your readers.
You know what? I'm devoted to just, like, letting it all hang out.
I appreciate that. I found a poem that I wrote 2 days, I think, before graduation.
Mm-hmm.
And literally I just sat down and it all just came out like some kind of white girl Eminem moment. Wow. Okay.
And so you read this aloud at graduation.
This was part of our graduation ceremony. There was 12 or 13 of us that had survived after this 2 year
program.
It was
12, I think.
Graduation poem, written and recited by Jocelyn Fee. What is this all about? Breaking down even though it is not expected, and pulling from an unknown strength even when it seems like there is nothing left. Winter to spring to summer, we will fall and rise as an ebb tide, an ever-changing ocean flowing into one another's arms and giving rest to that precious place. Extreme to routine to contention and contemplation is finally not the answer, but it is a practice to react, to have the ability to respond, to love the judged, to trust the liar, to feel a passionate desire which has drifted from the storm-wrecked ship onto the familiar sand of true simplicity,
where yes means yes, and I don't know is the wisest answer. This is about you and me choosing to see beneath the tear-ridden face and plastered-on smile. There is a glimmer of imagination left in the reflection of your eyes. The roughness of the stone protects its sacred diamond, and the roughness of the bud stretches its petals to the sun. This is about a second chance, another chance. Glancing at a self-imposed war turned romance.
Wow. That's deep.
17.
Those are deep thoughts that I feel like we as graduates of the program would get, but anyone listening would be like, what the fuck is she talking about?
I know, but I read this the first time. Like, when I read this 15 years later, I think I cried when I read this because I knew exactly, like, all of the things.
Like, I know what you're referring to, but it's very insular in that way.
Let's hear from Laura. Happy to report
that my journal entries aren't as cerebral. This is February 5th, 2003. Dear Journal, today is my 15 months at Cascade, so I guess this is a special day in many ways. I am or have been here for a long time, so I should try and do something special to celebrate that, and I'm starting and making a commitment to writing in this journal daily. No fucking around, I swear. Side note, I wrote in this journal for like, I did like 14 journal entries and totally.
Total.
Yeah, was like, goodbye. To start off slowly, I need to write down my resentments and judgments that come up during the day, as well as any times that I sell out to people.
Oh, selling out! Yes!
Selling out was a huge thing.
I need
Cascade.
To re-implement the selling out.
People would always call you out for like being a sellout. So help me out with that by looking good and poetic so I feel like writing in you, okay? I love me talking to my journal. Like, I really was committed to a dear journal. So today, February 5th, 2003, is the day I committed to writing in a journal. Yay. Well, this morning has gone okay so far. I found myself judging Tiana at breakfast. Her and I... Her and I aren't talking, and I think she's immensely full of shit.
Full of shit.
Another classic word. She's become dishonest since her visit and lives a lie. This is not so different from Vanessa. She tries to justify it to people and make it okay that she got fucked up on her visit. Oh, well, her symposium is tomorrow. I think I'm going to go sick to bed on Sunday because I can't stand to see her fakely dancing around. I'm trying to release my judgments of myself and others, but talking about this has really pissed me off. Ah! Then I took a break and came back. Well, the day simply got worse and worse. I had a pretty bad forum. I had to break my contracts with Jocelyn and Ashley, and I hate doing that. I hate my judgments of others and myself. My fear runs me. I hate being weak and desperate. Tiana came in the dorms after dinner, and I told her that I didn't want to talk to her and to get the fuck out. Whoa.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what to do about this situation. I want to be happy first, but something is getting in the way. I need to start meditating. This is something I've been telling myself literally since 2003.
15 years strong.
That along with journaling is the best way to be with myself and look inside myself. Drop judgments in all caps, underline. Say what I mean. Don't be afraid because fear just gets in the way of doing what I need to do. I need to look into my fear and see where it comes from. Shit. I just realized that I lost my letterbox. Stress is a killer. Peace, love, joy. Lara M. Shane.
Shut up! I want to know
terrorist.
What the contracts were.
I know. I say things in these journals that just like are so vague and explain nothing. But then I also put a lot of quotes from people that like really moved me. Like this one has, just in quotes, respectfully held inside of me, Tracy Connolly. Who's our English teacher.
She was a legit member of that community.
Yeah, she was like very active. She was not only
she
a great English
the
teacher.
Spirit.
She participated in forums and workshops and was like highly involved in like a chill way, not like a scary way.
She had style.
Okay, here.
Still does.
2603. Dear Journal. I am so immensely full of shit. I just need to start acting how I really feel and be direct with people. I can't drop my judgments if I don't look them square in the face. So act how I feel and just let it all hang out. unfortunately, it's not that simple. I'm not in the present with my emotions, or should I say actions. That's it. And then I have a Dr. Fisher quote. The irony of trying to hide what you do from people is that they see it anyway. Dr. Fisher.
Yikes.
True. Here's a good one. February 7th, 2003. Audrey is such a bitch. That girl is so selfish. She thinks that she's entitled to just take my clothes just because she's going through a workshop. Fuck her, man.
Oh my God, she was her symposium.
I know, but it was not okay. Don't take my clothes.
Thank you for holding your ground. Not selling out.
I really need to direct my anger towards the things that piss me off and set boundaries with people and live my life from the strong person that I am. Today, I'm really going to try and not worry about what other people think. Last night, I went to an NA meeting on campus. It was pretty good, but it's hard for me to level with people about drugs and feel equal with them. Directness is what I need. That's the only way to be genuine with people. Following the voice in my head to know whether or not I'm staying true to myself. Like, what am I talking about? Just like vague feelings and then lots of anger at friends.
There's a paranoia that's created when people are constantly telling you that you're full of shit and selling out and not even saying about what.
No.
It's like, so you're constantly questioning, well, am I a fucking asshole?
They're saying,
am I the worst person in the world? Am I horrible at setting boundaries? Am I weak and useless? I mean, people were just telling us that we were all of these things
without any like solid anything. So then you are constantly questioning yourself. You're basically getting gaslit by people like 24/7 and like being told that all your actions are wrong.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
So here's a symposium wrap-up. Dear Journal, sorry, this is February 9th, 2003. Dear Journal, sorry I didn't write yesterday. I was pretty depressed, and I am again today. We had our first softball practice yesterday, and that was really good. I love softball, so that was the only good thing that happened since I smoke cigarettes. I don't even want to be awake today because it's the symposium wrap-up, and I don't want to see all of the happy kids dancing around and full of love. I feel like I'll never get it. I'm stuck in the fucking heroes, and I feel like no one understands.
Oh my God!
I just realized why I try and talk so much. Because I want people to just understand me, and I feel like talking is the only way. That, when I was reading that, it broke my heart.
So sad.
I was like, but I still talk a lot.
We
I was
don't
like,
want you to stop talking.
No, I was like, now my whole life is about talking, and I like kind of like figured it out. But even like my 17-year-old self was like, hey, I think I talk so much because I just want this thing. It was really sweet. I wish I could go sick to bed. Last night I controlled my dream. It was pretty cool, but there were some parts that I'm just ashamed of. I smoked some pretty bad weed in the dream. I wish I could get really stoned right now.
I'm glad that you took my advice on what to do once you could control your dream.
Oh, you taught me how to control my dream. Like, I remember we talked about it and you told me. Then I controlled my dream and I made myself fly. Then I smoked weed and then I like fucked my crush. But it was like weirdly in the PE auditorium at my school in front of a lot of people. And that's what I felt really ashamed about.
Oh, expose.
Yeah.
I
remember that dream.
Just so you know, I'm totally nervous because you're going closer and closer to my dad's death day.
I know. I talk about it, but really lightly. And it's like a one-off sentence.
Oh, my. BT dubs.
It was a BT dub.
Shut up.
Should I read it or is it?
Let's see.
Dear Journal, this is February 10th.
Yeah, so not yet. It's not till the 17th, but still, I was just like, oh my gosh.
This is right around that time. Dear Journal, so the symposium wrap-up was yesterday. It was actually awesome. I got really sad during it because Tiana came up to me and I just felt all the love and I just lost it completely. It was so amazing to be crying strong tears instead of weak tears and to feel love, safety, and support from everyone in the room. It was just an awesome feeling to receive that from a room full of people. This is the cultiest thing that anyone, like all these like weird terms, like I'm so in my heroes. I had a good appointment with Courtney today. She challenges me in our appointments, and I really like that about her. I was challenged by her to break my contract with Lauren. And you know what? I really did. I did it. Normally, I get so nervous in forms, and I can't articulate and worry and try and make other people give me the answer. And today, I was clear, concise, and genuine. It was an awesome feeling. I feel really good about myself. I know that I just need to trust that everything will be okay. Dr. Fisher is going to be so proud of me. I am proud of myself for today. Love, Lara Marie. Oh, and then at the top, it said, Roz Snyder says that she saw me as strong and respects my strength.
Roz! We love Roz.
Love Roz. Okay. Dear journal. Okay, now it's Saturday and I'm so sorry. I've been slacking off this week about taking care of myself. This week has been okay, I guess. It went by really fast. I had an okay Dr. Fisher appointment on Tuesday. It was weird not to talk about anything emotional with him, but Thursday's appointment went well. Okay, so I guess I was seeing him twice a week at this point. Yesterday was a pretty good day, I guess. I had a basketball game and even though we lost, it was really fun. Okay.
Oh, this is it.
February 26, 2003. Dear journal. So anyways, I'm back again. Sorry to not have written in so long. I've been depressed and sad, so I've deprived myself of talking to anyone and fooled myself into thinking that I don't have anyone to talk to, even you. Well, let me bring you up to date. Truman Capote is the best author ever. I finished his book and it was brilliant. I must read Breakfast at Tiffany's as soon as possible. I'm going to get it on my visit. I need to remember that. Well, there's actually some big news. Jocelyn left last Tuesday on really short notice and she had to go home because her dad killed himself. I'm still shocked that it happened. I wanted really badly to feel something about it, but I just couldn't and I felt like even more of an ass. Don't even let me commence about fucking Tiana. And then I'm just get.
I wanted to feel something. I feel like you feel more compassion now than you ever have before, I guess.
I guess. I mean, I feel like I was shocked. I mean, that period of time.
Such a bubble.
That was like, what, the last time was from the 15th to the 26th. So it was this 10-day period. And that happened like.
The 17th.
I don't even know.
Crazy.
It's crazy.
Well, there it is in writing. It officially happened.
We weren't lying.
He did kill himself. I was convinced that he didn't. And then when I went to do research of where he killed himself, mm-hmm. it was at this like Vietnamese restaurant. And I went in there and I was like, was there a shooting here last year? And they were like, no, there was no shooting here. And then like some lady in the back was like, the man shot by himself. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, that's the one. I was like, do you know where that happened? I like went and tried to like stand.
Was it on a, was it in a park?
It was across the street from a park. At a restaurant parking lot. Jeez. He locked himself out of his car and fell, you know, when he shot himself in the head, he fell to the ground and landed on his keys. So they thought that he was shot by someone else because the car was locked. Mm. But once they got inside the car, there were notes and everything. So then they knew. Crazy.
That's crazy.
This has been a healing for me though. Even going over this time with you in this arc and sharing this and discussing it, it's been, I think it's really helpful for me. Even looking back at all of the school and where we've come from and what matters to me now and how much of a scammer I used to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I was really good at it. I miss it, maybe.
You were scamtastic.
We're going to try and utilize that energy when we go back up to...
We're going back up to Cascade.
Evoke all the scamology, but in line with my principles.
We have to finagle our way back onto campus because someone just released an article about the current school, Riverview Christian Academy, that's on campus. Like BuzzFeed just did a huge like expose on the fact that they're basically like a conversion therapy like Christian school. But we don't want anything to do with like their journey. We literally just like want to walk around campus and like think about our lives. But going back all over this and like I truly forgot about like all these journal entries and then reading them, it's just interesting because you see like everything that was really going on that I felt like so intensely about is very vaguely alluded to. And then mostly I'm using these journal entries to like bitch about friends that I have like up and down, like really chaotic relationships with. But even you are like not mentioned that much outside of that one mention. That's, and you and I had like a chill relationship.
That's because we didn't have problems most of the time. We talked about, we really enjoy the one time we had a problem, which was the murderous rage. So is there anything from that time period?
No, I like talk shit about our friend who really made me mad.
Another appalling case of teen abuse.
Yeah, this is the latest news from the Cascade School.
There's that glorious picture of the dining hall
that gets used in every single horrible story.
Many unfortunate teenagers have fallen victim to the traumatic fear, confusion, and isolation that often results from being sent away from home to a residential or wilderness program, although these programs advertise their ability to help teens. And that's what I'm talking about. I think that we don't have, there, because of all of the sexual abuse in the churches, there isn't a safe place in our culture. Basically, we injured all of the native people offering the gifts of like the shaman gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the churches have been like totally bastardized with all of the sexual abuse. And I think that there's like this new onset of Christians that seem pretty positive, but then you hear weird stories like the school or whatever. And where are we supposed to go? We're supposed to go to Babe?
I don't know.
I think it's a Babe moment, because
I'm like, I don't have any answers. Like, I look at my writing and I'm like, I still deal with a lot of the same problems now that I have in these journal entries, which is like constant questioning of myself. And like, I mean, obviously I'm a little more like with it as far as like I have a handle on my past and like what.
I think it's healthy to question yourself.
Yeah, and be constantly like.
Paranoia, though, is another level of.
Trying to hold myself to a higher standard and having less like hyper dramatic relationships and friendships like that drive me crazy. But like, I don't know. I look back and I've been in the past year going back through a lot of my writings and like journal entries and like poetry that I wrote and papers that I wrote in school to see like what my younger self like wanted for my future self. And I see like all the groundwork being laid for like what I'm doing now, which is like I podcast and like put myself out there and write and do all these things that like, it's just so, it's lined up like with that, like reading and being like, I don't know why I talk so much. I think it's just like, I want people to hear me and like accept me and then just be like, oh my God, like that is exactly what I'm doing. And then like in eighth grade, I wrote some paper about like my dad is my hero because he like is a doctor and helps people. And like, I hope that someday, whatever I do, I can like help people. And even though it's like, not on the same level as like a brain surgeon, I still do get emails every so often that are saying like, I've been in such a dark place and like your podcasts make me laugh and it's helped me. And like, I'm like weirdly have fulfilled a destiny that I wanted to fulfill. And to like know that, it's just weird. It's like emotional. And like you, I feel like
you are attaining that. I think that, you know, it's been kind of like a fun journey to do the writing, but I think that you're stepping into and walking into like, well, how can I use this for the good of humanity?
Yeah.
You know, at this point, it's like, there's so many people who have shame about their own explorations with partying and things like that, when actually it's been some of the most enlightening moments of their life. And I think that there is also, there's a flip coin to that where it's like finding the balance, finding the middle ground where it's like, you don't have to be an NA or AA. There is a way to be a just finding your balance and creating a life where you're supporting people, not because you're perfect or have the answers, but just because you've been through 15 years of figuring yourself out.
Yeah.
And there's that age range of people that are 15 to 30 who are doing the same stuff that you've been doing so well for so long. And that's really what I don't have any, and that's what I always go to in these circles that we run, these self-care classes that we have, where it's like, this course is about you figuring out what works out for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the answers, but I do have tools for you to be able to figure out what your answers are.
Yeah.
And I think that for you, I mean, writing has been like a huge gift you've given everyone.
Writing is like, and it's funny because I have like a really, I have a weird relationship with writing because it helps me so much. And it, like, even just journaling or being able to scribble something down and, like, express myself, like, I need to express. So whether it's talking or writing, it helps. Talking is a lot easier to do than, yes, like, writing. So I've gravitated towards that recently. But, like, it's cool to look back and... those are my cousins that I just like taped them in my journal and was like, Tony and Mackenzie.
Of course.
Like randomly in the middle of some other whole journal entry. But to look back and know that, and to be able to read that I've always had the tools to do what it is I'm meant to do is like a very reassuring, satisfying feeling. But then also it makes me really sad because I remember, and I think everyone goes through this, where there's like, there's been so many periods in my life where like I feel like I don't know what I'm supposed to do, where I feel so lost and like it has just been like so hard and like unnecessarily so when it was all there all along. But I think that that's part of the journey, is that you have to go through those like really shitty, trying, awful periods to like figure out what the fuck you're supposed to be doing. And that's like the grand...
you are. Yeah. In the midst of this despair, this, you know, this crux, who arrives for you?
Yeah. And that's like the grand payoff, like, or the quid pro quo of life, is that like, I think everyone is born with all the tools that they need to do exactly what they were put on this earth to do. And the whole thing is like figuring out how you do that.
I think the grand payoff is probably massaging Janelle Monáe at Music Tastes Good in 2 weeks. The ultimate scam. Because
you've been trying to work this in seamlessly. I'm glad that you gave up on it and just going for it.
Okay, so I just want to let everyone know that there's an amazing music festival happening in Long Beach. KCRW is hosting Music Tastes Good. And Janelle Monáe is going to be there. And Sacred Roots happens to be the relaxation station.
Chic.
And so we'll be in the VIP section and we'll be backstage. And I
if you're going to this music festival, go check out Jocelyn's
Sneak
Sacred
backstage.
Roots. Yeah, scam your way over to Sacred Roots Relaxation Station.
We are going
to
be having Reiki and massage therapy and cupping therapy, Ayurvedic massage, and all the different things. But the main point is that all the headliners are receiving massage, like they're receiving a session on the house.
Yeah.
From Sacred Roots and Music Tastes Good.
And so your goal is to get Janelle.
Well, just to show her the appreciation for her service and her gifts, I want to be able to share my gifts. You know, yeah, certain things can't be said in words.
Mm-hmm.
I know you receive a lot of reader mail, but I could give you a reader massage and you would be able to feel a certain way that does not make the intellect.
Well, do you want to make a special offer to our readers? If there's a reader...
Oh, please. If there's a reader in Southern California, in Long Beach, I would be happy to... I don't even know. What sounds like a good...
What sounds like a good deal for you? Because I don't want to say a free massage, because that feels like...
No, that's... It's
that's
too,
like too much.
I would love to offer a free sauna with any massage session.
What about a discount on a massage?
I love your... deal making.
I love a deal.
Okay. This is what my gut says.
Okay. Yeah. You have
if
to do
there
it
is a babe, there's a babe that needs a massage that's in a dark place right now, 50% off a signature massage.
That's huge.
That's normally a $69 massage.
Was it 60 minutes?
It's 60 minutes, and we'll put a sauna on either side. So it's an hour and a half treatment for $35.
I love that. Plus a sauna at the end, which is what you're supposed to do after a massage. Sweat it out.
You can sweat it out before or after. And really, we're not even in the...
This is one reader gets this.
Oh, only one of
these? There's one of these available.
Claim it and come in and check us out. And if you don't want to come get the massage, which I know that you want to get the massage, we are having our next art opening October 28th called Ego Death.
I love that.
Because it's all about the season of allowing the parts of ourself that no longer serve us to fall away. And that's what I'm hearing, is we're doing this checking in with Sacred, or checking in with Cascade and our journals and who we were. And I think it's really like anything that I thought I was supposed to be and anything that I think I am, I'm ready for all of that to just be sloughed off.
Yeah, and allow this rebirth. So on October 28th from 1 to 4, we're going to be focused on endangered species, shamanic practices in death. There'll be costumes because it's Halloween, and a harpist.
And I'll be there. So there's the added bonus of getting to meet both me and Jocelyn.
In costume.
In costume, in the moment. And so wait, how do people get in touch with you if they want the massage?
I would love, all you need to do is email us at sacredrootshh@gmail.com.
With the subject line.
Babe? Question mark?
And so whoever does that first, you get it.
Yeah, and if you do it second, then I might still try and give you stuff because we love giving stuff away.
Yeah.
We find that when people finally get into our center, they're like, what is this place?
It's a cool place.
Like, how have you guys been here for so long and we didn't know it was like this portal? So come on down.
I love an ego death moment, and I love like the experience of looking back and then reading through all this stuff and seeing me as my like a 17-year-old dealing with similar themes to what I deal with now, and then also seeing things that make me really happy but also things that make me really sad. Like there was a moment where I was lamenting the fact that I was a size 8 and I just hate it and why can't I just be, and I'm so
ridiculous.
Why have I been worrying about this for the past fucking almost 20 years? Like this has been something that I've thought about all the time. Social and I'm like program. This sucks. And also like what if I came away from this like little journal moment being like, what if I just decide to love myself regardless of anything? And what if I decide to like let go of all of this shit and just be like, you're fucking cool. You've gotten it since day one. I love who you were. I love who you are. And that's that.
I believe I can fly.
I believe.
Problematic fave, R. Kelly.
I am right there with you. And on my wedding day, I was like, oh, I have like this pooge in my belly. And I named her Gloria because, you know.
I like that.
When you have a belly named Gloria, you can't hate her.
Hey, Gloria.
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 And so there's many levels of why Gloria is my teacher. Mm-hmm. Because on my wedding day, you know, I was like, or that week, I was like, well, I didn't like lose that weight that I was maybe going to attempt to pretend like I was going to lose weight for some reason. And it was, the moment was, it's not about anything besides accepting the woman that is right now walking through this threshold. And it's accepting her and saying, this is the woman I'm presenting to my husband or my wife or whoever it is, whoever you want to marry. But totally accepting my body. And I remember some one chick that was like, oh my God, I can't believe you chose that dress. That's like totally a dress that I would wear. And I was like,
who said that?
Just somebody without much mind in their mind.
Not in the bridal party.
No, not in the bridal party, but still it's just like, I like that you are.
I got really bridal for
who,
a second.
Who?
And like, I'll beat her at. Like,
well, take her to forms. Take her to forms.
We'll indict her.
That's the thing is like, I was like, yeah, you know why? Because I'm like 10 times the woman that you might think I am just because Gloria's hanging out. Yeah. That has nothing to do with the beauty in my body and maybe that I won the large areola contest at boarding school. I'm okay with that.
Also, it's like, just like, what a waste of mental space truly to like worry about. And I say this like from a place of being like, what a waste now, but like, tomorrow I'll be like, I need to work out or else like ugh.
And 10 years from now you're gonna be like, oh my God, 10 years ago I was such a babe and I was still talking
and
shit.
I've talked about this a lot like on the podcast and in past episodes, and it's like what a waste of time that could be spent
vitality
and talking about other things and like worrying about why you're not a certain body type, like why you don't just look like this.
But
and
that it's is like, anxiety. That's what anxiety does. It throws you into a space where you can't even be realized. You spend your whole life unrealizing who you are instead of accepting your divinity, accepting who you are, accepting the beauty. We're all fucked up, but do we choose to see our fuck ups all the time or do we choose to see the beautiful parts of ourselves? We get to choose the lens, and people are just not willing to believe that they choose the lens. People are willing to believe that it's victim land and it's all up to whatever the social program says. And I'm really over that. And I'm glad that you're here to speak to it. And
no, I'm help me ready speak to it. Speak to it.
I'm going to have Laura on my podcast, The Self-Love Line, coming up soon.
Let's do some reader mail. Hi, Lara and Ryan and guest, potentially Jocelyn, if my timing is right.
Ooh.
Babe, first of all, love the pod. Thanks for being so funny and candid and hashtag real. I've been following the White Girl Problems Twitter since college 8 years ago and literally die over it. Anyways, do I have a story for you? Let me tell you about one of my truly darkest babe outs that happened back in, of course, my freshman year of college. Setting the scene, I'm a frumpy, hashtag awkward kid, not exactly living, laughing, and loving in NYC with a sense of humor that I guess just wasn't everyone's cup of tea. Re Capricorn Sun, Gemini Rising, and numerology number 11. Isn't that a babe in itself? And pretty much just trolling myself through life by really just hating, judging, and avoiding everyone. I guess I was really moody and didn't have much chill when it came to meeting new people. Anyways, the city is about a 40-minute train ride from my childhood home, and oh hell yes did I take that train home every weekend, because guess what? I was unlucky enough to be sharing a suite-style dorm situation with 7 other guys. This meant that there were 3 bedrooms, 2 of which fit 3 guys and 1 that fit 2, and we all shared a common space of a living room and a kitchen. The setup was unfortunately not as glam as you'd think when half of them don't understand basic hygiene or realize you can't just dispose of tuna salad down the sink, for example, vom.com. I won't even mention the bathroom situation. I'll let your imagination take care of that, but I digress. I'm getting ahead of myself and back to my babe ways, and you'll soon see why. Now, as someone who loves his alone time and personal space, duh, who doesn't, this dorming situation was a troll to end all trolls. What did I do? What did any teenager who doesn't know how depressed they are would do? Vent about it on Tumblr. By the way, few things are as mortifying than revisiting your old college Tumblr where you cataloged, nay, surgically pinpointed exactly what you hated about the world and all the people in it, not to mention all the posts about how no one seems to really understand how you literally can't live without coffee. Dark, right? Just wait. One night, I was feeling extra angsty and decided to write a tell-all expose on basically why I hated each one of my roommates, complete with the full dramatic detail. Not gonna lie, I was good. I really let them have it. It was paragraph after paragraph, and I would have totally gotten away with it too if I didn't go the extra babe mile and tweet the link. Now, I forget if my direct roommate had been following me on Twitter beforehand, but nevertheless, he found it. And of course, he shared it with all 3 of the others. If you're thinking this is like the infamous scene from Mean Girls when Regina reveals the burn book to the school, it was worse. I would have welcomed an all-out brawl. Instead, they confronted me quietly one night in a hallway pretty soon after about it, and I swear I blacked out most of my memory of it. I remember making some half-assed promises to be open about what was bothering me or some shit like that. As if. I hated them even more for it, because imagine the same people who I was already infuriated with for not being able to clean a dish were now the ones lecturing me about a courtesy and sharing space. I'm pretty sure I disassociated from my body and just nodded to get through the excruciating encounter. We might have even shared a laugh at my calling 2 of them Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Just typing this out is giving me horrid flashbacks. I've gone back a few times into that embarrassing graveyard of nulls to try and find that one post, but I'm pretty sure I scrubbed it from the internet. Otherwise, I would have totally have sent the post to show you. Now it's just a true lol, unless you guys know anyone at Tumblr. Lol, 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 JK, but like, maybe. Anyway, Ryan mentioned that there's always a twist in these babe out stories, and mine is that the ordeal bonded me to one of these roommates, Steven, we can name names here, as best friends for the rest of my college experience and to this day. I remember I devoted literally just one sentence sparing him from my moodily typed wrath. It was something like, but Steven's cool, he can hang, moving on to dot dot dot. Cue to him being the Anderson Cooper to my Andy Cohen, and the very person who introduced me to your podcast. I guess the moral here is that you need to get dragged through rock bottom to make friends or something like that, TBD. Thanks for listening to my story from a very devoted reader, truly yours in babery. P.S. Would love a tie-dye merch moment, but they're all sold out. Also, if you choose to read this on the pod, you can totally name names. P.S.S. Thank you to the babe who recommended Running on Empty. The book looks great, and at least 4 people that I know need it. Oh, I love Steven and babe Andrew. I'll name names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Double dare accepted.
Cutie. Oh, not even Andrew. Anthony. Sorry.
One A name at a time.
Oh, someone else writes, babes, thanks for talking about abortion. I had one earlier this year, and even though it was best for me at the time, it's so stigmatized I can't talk about it openly, except with like two people. It's complicated. So thanks.
Aww, you're welcome. It's true. There's so many people have so much shame around it.
Yeah. And it is very complicated. But here for your journey. Oh, here's me getting indicted by a reader.
Uh-oh, what'd you do, a boo-boo?
I didn't do a boo-boo. They hate that term.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Subject.
I have a 1-year-old and a 6-year-old.
I know, that was a fully 1-year-old communication.
It's true.
Brain trolls. Hey, Lara. Just got to mention quickly how much of a serious Wonder Woman you are, and that with Sup and subsequently Babe, I've found my virtual community of companions and lols, trolls, modern feminism, and all in between. So thanks. You're welcome. Now, though, I have to get real. Lara, is it a babe to try and deceive your own readers? In your recent ep, when Jocelyn mentioned having sex dreams about her dad, let's not get into how fucked that therapist seemed to be, you made the casual, nonchalant remark that you think you might have had a sex dream about your dad at some point. Maybe, perhaps, not a direct quote. Come on, Lara. We are your readers, after all. And as you say, anyone who listens to Babe is a genius. So please don't try to fool us. The truth is, and you know it, anyone who's ever had a sex dream involving a parent does not forget it, regretfully. That shit stays with you like a stain on a cum rag. Sup reference. Holla. Oh, and a New York Housewives reference to top it off. The parent sex dream is the brain troll we all try to pretend didn't happen and fret over for years, wondering whether it means if we're attached to our literal makers, our pedophiles ourselves, or whether our poor life choices are finally catching up with us. But it certainly is not something we think could have happened, might have happened, maybe once. I can only justify my judgmental tone here because I, too, have been down a path of public proclamation about my own dad's sex dream, and while it actually meant And what it actually meant was that I found out I, A, wasn't a freak, and B, actually feels good to release that secret shame. How it came to be was that I was chatting with a friend about God knows what when she told me how another friend of hers had once told her about something really horrible that had happened to her. My friend, let's call her Tosh, decided that it would be a matey thing to do to tell her friend something awful that had happened to her in return. You know, to make her feel less alone and generally less shit. So Tosh says, I once had a sex dream about my dad, thinking that this is the deepest, darkest secret she can share with someone. And once this person hears this and knows how fucked up she is, they'll know how much she loves them and wants to help them. Instead, the friend turns to her and goes, oh, yeah, try having brothers. Lol. So this obscure act of kindness didn't have the exact desired effect. Tosh doesn't have brothers. But hey, it's a thought that counts, right? And so, as Tosh tells me this story, I'm sitting there going, holy fuck, I thought I was the only one. There are other freaks like me. And for the first time in my life, I actually speak of this gross, sweat-inducing memory I have of having a sex dream about my dad. It felt fucking great. Talking with someone about something a moment before I would have never, ever have thought to admit made me feel such relief. That was until a few weeks later when Tosh and I were hanging out with some other people, including my boyfriend, when some fucking how... The topic of sex dreams comes up again, and Tosh casually goes, yeah, X and I have had sex dreams about our dads. And I'm like, woman, what? You just outed me to other friends and my boyfriend. Less of an understanding audience at this time, because those friends had, in fact, not had the privilege themselves and were generally repulsed by us. They'd claim not to be, but I could see their faces.
Not safe.
Tosh's logic was that so far in her dealings with friends on this topic, she'd had 100% response rate of me too, aka from two people, very small sample size, and blindly ran with it. Many a lol later, we still talk about her outing of my dad's sex dream, and again, it feels fucking great. I guess my point is, there are some things that make us terrified of ourselves. Having a sex dream about my dad was one of those things for me. Worrying about what the actual fuck it meant and why those two very separate elements of my life would be so meshed together by my subconscious and played out for me like some video kidnappers used to torture their victims with was eating away at some part of my overall confidence about myself as a sexual person. The relationship I was in at the time, and in fact am still in, was my first experience of being with someone that made me feel comfortable about my own sexuality and general self, and I was learning to share both those things with this other person. Somehow the dad's sex dream expose was a part of that. So sorry if this was utterly nonsensical and boring. I'm not good at being concise, also not good at wrapping things up. So thanks for reading, and thanks for the podcast, and generally for being you. Love and light.
Oh.
I love that. But also, yes, please. I wasn't lying about my dad's sex dream to make Jocelyn feel better.
This is, play it off for a moment because she was like,
I was like, Ma, I didn't want to really get into it because I didn't feel like
describing. My dad's dead, so like, so he's like, not going to listen to this.
He's not going to listen.
And I mean, or he's already listening.
Or he's like in the great listening universe. But like, yeah. I just like didn't care to like go down the road descriptively. And also it was like, I didn't write down the dream afterwards. So I just remember like the point in the dream where this was happening and me realizing in the dream that I was in fact doing it. And so I just didn't like, I'm done.
I found out something. I was told something about when you're having sex with anyone in their dream, in your dream. It's really revelationary.
What does it mean?
That you love them.
I love that.
That's it. True. You know, that you miss them and that you love them. That you crave intimacy with them.
Yeah.
Or you crave intimacy with that energy.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you were looking for a mentor in your life when you had that dream. Maybe you were seeking some kind of somebody to look up to.
Yeah.
Maybe you're seeking that kind of foundation. So I'm so glad you could share your shame with us. And I was, I mean, after... I even felt, I was like, oh God, I forgot that I was on recording. I thought I was just talking to Laura. And then I was like, you know what? I have nothing to hide.
There's nothing to hide. And you know what? A wise girl from our school once said, ain't no shame in my game. It's only shame if you make it shame.
Oh. Okay.
Which are words to live by.
Thank you. She also said, you're over there sucking on your mama's titty.
Is that... Yeah, she loved to accuse people of sucking on their mama's titty.
Which I love the visual. Like,
I love the visual. And I'm like trying to figure out in what context like that would be an appropriate insult. It was maybe, just like when you're being a fucking baby.
Mm-hmm. One step further.
Oh, you're a baby. No, you're sucking.
No, you're actually sucking on your mama's titty. I love. Okay, one last reader mail. Hey, Laura, the new format of Babe has been killing it, and I'm so proud of you. I've loved the guests and the variation that we've been getting from arc to arc. Anyways, getting down to the real reason I'm writing, which is a callback to a Babe episode of old where you and Ryan got into the Olivia Munn of it all. I've had two recent journeys where her name has come up, so I felt compelled to share this lol with you. First, I'm getting caught up on the Goop podcast thanks to your recommendation of you and Tierney referring to her voice as a velvet smoker. It really is. In listening to past eps, I was trolled to see that the next one coming up was Olivia Munn. Then I realized it was actually Olivia Wilde and I needed to stop getting them confused. The second story is much more of a lol from a few weeks ago brought to you by Olivia Munn, Ambien, and the VMAs. I had a big work presentation on a Tuesday and was feeling restless, so I decided to take an Ambien and laid down to go to sleep in my bed while my boyfriend was watching the VMAs in our room. I must have drifted into my initial phases of my Ambien journey because I do not remember this, but Olivia Munn was announcing the next award. When they said her name on TV, I started violently reacting and talking out loud to my boyfriend about my friend who she made swim in her pool in a sweater. My boyfriend, only being an on and off babe listener, had no idea what the fuck I was talking about, but I recounted your Olivia Munn story to him as though you were one of my nearest and dearest, and was vehemently dragging Olivia Munn, saying what an awful person she was because of it. My boyfriend also Snapchatted me during this Olivia Munn Ambien rampage and sent it to our friends, so for a solid week, everyone was trolling me about my seemingly random Olivia Munn hate. It gave me a huge lol, and I loved how the pod apparently permeated my subconscious to the point where I felt the need to defend your honor. P.S. Stray Babe, observations on Goop podcast. 1. Why does the producer always call Gwyneth GP? As if Gwyneth wasn't a babe enough name already. 2. Have you ever heard someone deliver podcast ads as seamlessly as Gwyneth? It truly blows my mind and I guess must be the secret to why we're all knee deep in Goop. Thanks for being a babe and excited to see the journey of the pod continue. Love and light.
I know why she's called GP. I read about it.
What?
I mean, I don't even...
She's called GP by everyone she knows.
It's because that is her, like, when she started, after acting and she started going into this business, it was like her assistant was calling her GP instead. Like, this is like... Maybe her ego death.
Her ego death. And
from the actress, Gwyneth Paltrow, and now she's GP. Died. As this.
She burned down Gwyneth, and from the ashes arose GP.
A.K.A. Goop.
Goop, purveyor of all things.
I want to say good on you, Gwyneth. You're welcome on our podcast.
Yeah, you are. Oh, and also, her voice is Velvet Smoker, but B, if you listen to this week's episode of Sexy Unique Podcast... I'm releasing episodes starting September 20th. So check those out. But I have my first ever ad on that podcast for Casper mattresses, and I did my best GP seamless impersonation, like getting you into the ad, and I really took all inspiration from Gwyneth, so I owe it all to her. Thank you, GP.
Yes, look yeah. forward to seeing you soon.
I look forward to seeing you all the time.
I feel like already in collaborations with all the work that we're doing. Actually, this is what's so funny is I didn't even know anything about Goop because I'm totally out of any kind of pop culture. I've been off the pop off since boarding school, basically.
You gotta get in the get with the program.
But then I found out, I was like looking for businesses that I thought would be a good fit for my vocational massage therapy school, and I thought, I'm gonna let Goop know about this new school that's starting in Long Beach, and they're definitely gonna want to be associated. I found out they were a little out of my range, but overall.
But if you get people from Goop, like, that's like if you want to be featured, like you buy ad space or whatever and become a partner of them. You
and
need
that's
them.
Not what I didn't want that. No, I wanted to be the premier massage school.
So guess what?
That Goop
if
offered.
Anyone who works at Goop is listening to this podcast, you can also get a deal from Jocelyn.
Like if you needed to become a massage therapist by some of the best massage therapists in Southern California, Rebel Massage.
Or if you just want massage treatment or Ayurvedic facial or anything.
I don't actually do Ayurvedic facials.
I know, but like
other people do.
Other people do it.
There's just
sacred roots. There's lots of options for you.
I just like to open the door and say thank you.
Yeah.
For holding it down on a different level than I am. I'm more at the grassroots, the sacred roots level.
Yeah. You're like at the Long Beach level. She's having a Brentwood Santa Monica journey. It is what it is.
I did Santa Monica a few years, like 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't really been back.
Yeah.
Except we went to Native Foods. What? Food place.
Real Food Daily.
We went there.
But you, that's when you were going to acting classes and I lived in Santa Monica. So we had a lot of interactions. We've been through it all.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for being my guest.
I'm so lucky and happy to just hang out and really just to take some time away from the family unit to yeah. chill with my BF.
Look how big my foot is compared to yours.
My big toe goes to the top of her, to the bottom of her big toe.
Also, I'm going to give the readers a big toe bruise update because I know you've probably been wondering how they're
what
doing.
What happened?
I just tripped acid and danced really hard at a Grateful Dead
Shut
show.
Up.
And I think my shoes were too tight and they just got bruised on my toenail. There's no like real major story.
I blame the acid.
Yeah, same. But so the bruises are still very active, but I still have both toenails and I'm just like letting them breathe and I'm not doing any sort of pedicure over them. But I'm trying to wear closed-toed shoes as often as possible.
I'll have Jason send distance Reiki to your big toes.
Please have him send some distance Reiki.
I'm not kidding.
Send it.
I'll text him.
Okay. readers. If you want to send me reader mail, do it. babepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to support this podcast on Patreon and become a patron for bonus episodes and random content that I feel like giving you, as well as I have a book club that you can be a part of, you can do that. patreon.com/babepodcast. Follow me on Instagram @babepodcast. Follow Jocelyn on Instagram @Jane is my middle name.
Jane's
my middle name. Follow Sacred Roots.
Sacred Roots Holistic Healing, Panacea Learning, and the Self-Love Line.
And thank you so much for listening.
Dude, this has been awesome.
This
I love you.
It's been so fun. I love you too.
Thanks for introducing me to your community and namaste.
Namaste. And guess what? We're going to be back eventually with more updates on our Cascade journeys.
We might have to connect in October about the ego death one more time. So
yeah. So stay tuned. This isn't the last time you're going to hear from Joss. And
peace out.
Bye. Babe?
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts.
And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.